Joyful blessings. This is Kaylin Castell with a look at week 3 of the February 2016 Celestial Timings. And we start with February 15th, Monday, also known as President's Day in the United States, when the moon is entering Gemini. So it will be with the Pleiades very closely at 6:35 a.m. And it is a waxing moon, so not visible at the time of the exact conjunction. So on the night of February 14th, you'll see the moon approaching the Pleiades, and on the night of the 15th, you'll see the moon past the Pleiades. Now, this also represents the moon entering the sacred hoop of stars. The sacred hoop is represented by the Pleiades, by Auriga, Capella in the constellation of Auriga, Castor and Pollux in the constellation of the twins, Procyon in the constellation of Canis Minor, or the small dog, and Sirius, Canis Major, the large dog, and then Rigel is just the foot of Orion, and then back up to the Pleiades. So that creates the sacred hoop of stars, as seen by the Lakota, and within that circle of stars, we have the plane of our solar system, or the path that the planets follow, as a line going through the center of that circle. And then we have the line, or the plane of the galaxy, also coming through the center of that circle. So it's forming the cross within the circle, which is why it is considered the sacred hoop of stars. The moon will be approaching Aldebaran, the eye of the bull, on the night of the 15th. And will be beyond Aldebaran the following night. But during the day, it's going to occult Aldebaran. Moon will occult Aldebaran because we're in a series of occultations, 49 occultations between January 2014 and September 2018. And this is the 15th time. And each occultation builds on another exponentially. So the eye of the bull, how we perceive our reality, how we see things, that all-seeing eye, the all-knowing seeing eye, the wisdom that's connected to all of that. So what is being revealed by this, by these occultations of the moon over Aldebaran for a series of them? And this happens when the nodes are in Pisces, Virgo, and they started with Libra, Aries, and then they've now moved into Virgo, Pisces, the North Node in Virgo, and the South Node in Pisces, and so, which is also with, the North Node is with Jupiter, and is very close to Jupiter all this month, all the month of February, and the activation of Aldebaran, one of the four royal stars of ancient times, and also opposite Antares, where Saturn happens to be. So we have these activations that are taking place. And if you look at Aldebaran and Antares, Aldebaran is the eye, or the mind, and Antares is the heart. And so how do they talk to one another? And when the moon is passing by Aldebaran, then we can imagine that, and making these occultations, that there's some new information, some light codes that are being transmitted to the Earth as a result of this direct passage, this direct lineup. It's like if you think of the tumblers in a combination lock, to have an occultation, you have the Earth, you have the moon, and you have the star in an exact alignment. So there's some sort of direct transmission that comes to the Earth at this time. So it's really important to tune into. And it doesn't mean that you have to know what it means, but if you go out and you just can see the moon near Aldebaran, it'll help to activate and to be witness to and to be conscious of and just to know that this is what's going on and to open to receive whatever the messages are for you. And then on the 16th, Venus is going to go into Aquarius, and will travel through Aquarius until March 12th. And as Venus is in Aquarius, at the second gate, no less, so it's a way of having a revolution in consciousness that helps to also for us to see how we're relating to the mysteries of the sacral chakra, sexuality, money, value, worth, all of that. We also understand the Aquarian dispensation, which basically says that everyone has the right to take responsibility for their own spiritual and evolutionary path, and that we don't really need to intercede on the behalf of anyone or anyone interceding on our behalf, that it's our own journey. And so Aquarius would say that, you know, very independently, we all get to take our own journey and determine that path for ourselves. And that we all have the power to have our own direct connection with the divine. And part of that can be going out and just tuning into the sky, because that is a divine expression that's visible to us all the time when we're taking the time to go and be in relationship to that. So then we'll have the moon at entering Cancer at 11:24 a.m. on February 17th, that specific time. And it's at the center point of the sacred hoop of stars, because zero Cancer is the solstice point, and that is the summer solstice point in the northern hemisphere. And that is exactly where the summer solstice sun rises on summer solstice and kind of hangs out in that area of the sky for quite some time, but exactly there for 3 days. So the sun on the cross at the summer solstice in the sacred hoop. And then the sun will enter Pisces at 9:34 p.m. on February 18th. And so this is part of, you know, the seasonal cycle. This means we're 30 days then before the spring equinox, with the sun going into Pisces. So we have the sun moves about 1 degree a day, so we have about 30 days until we reach that point of spring equinox. So the days are continuing to lengthen. And this is the fuel, or this is the energy of compassion, imagination, how we're dreaming up our reality. And so we could say this is a really great time to be tuning into what we're dreaming about and what our intention and attention is focused on. How are we nurturing and caring for ourselves and for everyone and for the earth? No one's more important or less important than anyone else. And some of us have more challenges than others, and sometimes we're maybe in certain cycles where that creates greater challenges. So it is important to have compassion for the journey through life. Sometimes it is more challenging than others. Sometimes we need to have more compassion for ourselves and for those around us. So if we think of the how we're growing through life, and if we think of the December solstice as the seed point where the seeds are planted, and then as we reach the cross quarter and the time when the sun is in Pisces, there's the tender shoots from the plants that are there, or there's that, you know, that just fresh, new, tender awareness that's dawning and emerging and needs protection and nurturing. And that's really what Pisces is all about. So then we're going to have the moon go into Leo as it exits the sacred hoop on February 19th. It'll pass Pollux and Castor, and then we'll enter, later that day, we'll enter Leo, and we'll be visible in the evening sky, past Castor and Pollux. So on the night of the 18th, you'll see the moon kind of aligning up with Castor, Pollux, and Procyon, and there is a star map in the written version of the timings that you can see. So you can see where that is. And again, these are very powerful stars, because the Castor and Pollux and Procyon are all on the edge of the sacred hoop, so that means the moon is leaving the sacred hoop at this time. And then when the moon enters Leo, the focus will be on self-love and how do we love ourselves? How do we do that in a healthy way? Because there is the expression, like we could say, the shadow of Leo is a sense of entitlement a sense that I'm better than others, is it could be a shadow of Leo, and that others are here to serve my needs. And we can have seen the shadow of Leo quite strongly. And it seems like it's been showing up too in terms of how there's such a polarization, especially in the U.S. around the political beliefs of what it is that's going on right now. And true, and sneezing on the truth, ha ha. So how do we step out of that polarized viewpoint and realize that everyone's important? And how do we create a reality that allows for everyone to be valued as important, and that their life matters, and that there is great love for ourselves as well as for everyone else? Now, Saturn is reaching 15 degrees of Sagittarius. And this is the area of the sky where the great attractor is located. And I spoke about this and wrote about this in the December Tinings. And the great attractor is this huge force that is drawing towards it our galaxy as well as our other galaxies around us. And it's a massive pull. It's drawing us at the rate of 1,000,000 miles per hour. Which seems like a lot, but apparently it's a long ways away because we won't get there anytime soon. But it is a super cluster, perhaps, of galaxies, and it really is beyond our comprehension how huge this thing is. And so we could imagine, if there's a great attractor out in space, what does that tell us about our own attracting ability? And Saturn is with the great attractor, so attuning our thoughts and our feelings and our actions, and then how does that attract to us? We are our own great attractor. We are attracting to us our experience all the time, and this is that reminder. And just being grateful and being in the highest vibration possible so that we're attracting from that place of gratitude and from that place of appreciation, compassion, and love is so that that's what we're attracting into our life. Now, sometimes we may have experiences that we just have to respond to. And ideally, if we understand that no matter what is happening, it is all for our growth and evolution, even though sometimes it doesn't feel that way. Sometimes we have to go through hard things to get to the other side and then look back and go, oh my gosh, I learned so much. I was so transformed. This was such an alchemical process that you don't even necessarily recognize yourself from when you started the process to getting to the other side. So as much as possible, continuing to allow yourself to feel what you feel, but also to have gratitude for the experiences that are helping you to grow and evolve. And then on Sunday, February 21st, Mercury is going to be passing by the heart star of the goat, the heart star Armus. And this is the story, the goat fish or the sea goat, as it's described in different tellings, different stories, is how the gods were in a battle with Typhon, or the Titans. And Typhon, who is one of the gods, and was one of the sons of Gaia, having to escape the Titans, leaped into the Nile River or leaped into the ocean, just depending on who's telling the story, and turned his upper body into a goat and his lower body into a fish. And this is the shape that's considered worthy of commemoration in the heavens. So Zeus, also known as Jupiter, created the constellation to represent this time of what happened with the goatfish or the sea goat. Now the goatfish, I guess, would be the Nile. If the god is jumping into the Nile River, and the goat fish is jumping into the sea goat is if the if the goat is jumping in, or if the god is jumping into the ocean. So anyway, so this star Armus is the one that marks the heart, and of course, there's been a lot of research that shows that the heart has actually more intelligence than the mind. And that so that it's constantly sending messages to our brain, and there's a whole bunch of research that's been done by HeartMath, and so it's a great time to really connect into what our feelings are and to how we're either operating from emotions or feelings. And when our emotions and our feelings are out of phase with our awareness, with our overall awareness, that then our what we are perceiving in our reality is out of kilter as a result. So it's taking time to feel, and also to just be aware of what we're thinking, and tuning into our heart knowing is really helpful at this time as we end the third week of February 2016.